You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some. See where I live.
IGN GameScoop.
I'm rolling. Ready.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week, Jared Petty.
Scoop!
Morty Sliva. Hey. Sam Claiborne.
Three healthy scoops.
We've got a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about the evolution of Evolve. We're going to talk about that backwards compatibility. But first, Inside Ooh. Is an awesome video game that you should play, and that got a 10 from IGN.
Yep. We've all beat it here.
I have.
Yeah.
Yes?
I have not beaten Inside. No.
Good.
No.
Then you can be the audience and stop us when we go too far.
That's fine. No, it's odd. I've put articles together about Inside, yet still haven't played it. It's a strange world.
You should play it.
I want to.
Real good video game.
It's out on Steam now.
Right here. What's that? Yeah, it just came out on Steam.
It's the second 10 we've given this year. Actually, technically the third 10 we've given this year. Undertale came out last year, but we reviewed it this year. Mm-hmm. We got 10. This prompted one of our listeners/viewers, Doug, to write us in. He emailed us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like you, Kim. And Doug says, first off, I love the show.
Aww.
Keep up the good work. I'm writing because during Game of the Year Watch last week, it was mentioned that there are already two games scoring a 10 this year. Mm-hmm. And indeed, it certainly seems like the pace of games earning the score has increased in recent years. I decided to look back through IGN history at the full list of games that have scored a 10, and it was an interesting trip down memory lane. I thought perhaps it would be fun for you to go down that list as well. I would love to hear the Scoop Crew's opinions on which games earned a 10. Lastly, it does seem 10s have become more frequent in recent years. Do you think it has become easier to get that score? Have games just gotten better? Do you think we'll see a couple 10s a year going forward, or do you think this current pace will taper off?
So he has this chart.
He did not provide me the data. I pulled all the data.
Okay.
I've got some stats.
Did you include the Game Boy Color era?
Oh yeah.
Oh, because God. There's no way we're giving out more 10s than that.
So first of all, how many 10s do you think IGN has given in its history?
In its 20 years?
Like, are we talking all the way back?
Can you tell us how many reviews we've done?
No, I cannot tell you how
many. I'll tell you a percentage.
I'm going to guess we've given out 77 10s.
I'm going to guess we gave out 30 10s not to Game Boy or portable games.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with 40.
40. 70, some kind of a 30 guess in 40s.
Are you including Game Boy? You should know.
The Game Boy
at one
color
point, yeah, you could, because the scale was like a 10-point scale then, so like a 10 was like a perfect Game Boy game. Well,
yeah.
Let's go qualify that.
IGN has given 33.
Oh.
Okay.
Some 10s. Kind of 30.
I overestimated big time.
Over the years, and that's bundling like Pokemon Blue and Red together as one game. Okay. We gave them both 10s. what was the Zelda, the Oracle of Seasons, mm-hmm. Oracle of Ages. It's including those as just one.
And it's also including like PS3 and PS4 versions of things like GTA and Last of Us.
Exactly. Yeah.
We have Ages of 10. That's interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So 33 tens over the years, and I've graphed this out. I'll share this this graph on a close up on the video. Ooh. So this is the tens we've given over the years.
What's the green?
From 1998 to 2016.
Okay.
So this spike here is 1999.
Wow. Okay.
When Craig was giving out, just doling out tens left and right to Game Boy Color games.
Okay.
Yeah.
But still with that, it's 33?
Yeah.
I like how the green and purple are side by side, and it's kind of an Incredible Hulk thing going on there, like in 1992, 2000.
That's great.
Which year is the Metal Gear Solid 4 year?
2008, I believe, which is that and GTA 4.
Was that a high year?
Yeah, see, that's right there in the middle.
So I think. I don't think we're giving, oh, obviously, we're not giving any more tens.
Wait, the latest bar is three tens, or two tens, and that's how high it is?
2016, three tens.
Three tens, right.
This year, because we gave
Undertale. Because of Undertale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and that evens out if you go back to the other year.
This is the years that the reviews were published.
Yeah. So first, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I think the reason we're
seeing, line version
we've
too.
Seen a couple tens this
There's
year.
There's a line version.
God, that's terrifying. I don't like that at all. That's like the little journeyman
That's like something I build in Scream Ride. That's amazing.
So what I think we can tell from this graph is that they're not really getting, it's not really increasing over time.
But I would say this is speaking to a console generation.
I was going
to
say the same thing.
Like no games in, say, for like something like Mario 64 and the original Halo, generally consoles don't have amazing games in their first 2 years or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we saw that with this generation, like consoles were launching with stuff like Knack and Rise and Killzone.
In fact, for 64, we gave a 10 out, but it was for Ocarina of Time, which was 2 or 3 years into the console.
That's right, yeah.
Also, statistically, we often forget what an average means. An average means that sometimes things go high and sometimes things go low, and there's a middle line. These should fluctuate year by year. They should be different. The chart should change constantly, and then we kind of draw a line through the middle, and it may stay fairly flat. I think statistically, if you've got 1 foot in boiling water and 1 foot in freezing water, somebody pointed this out, you're comfortable. You know,
there's no way that's true.
That sounds,
that's statistically
awful.
It is. I mean, well, as far as the raw numbers are concerned.
Statistics joke.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
I can't remember who I read that.
You know, if you go to the Exploratorium here in San Francisco, there's this thing where it's like a wound copper wire, and in one tube is hot water and one tube is really cold water, but that water's not hot enough to burn you, but it'll give you a start. And when you go, and they're right next to each other, so as you run your hand down, it's hot and cold, and your body cannot distinguish the sensations when you're first touching it, so you're just constantly like,
I don't know what it feels.
Exploratorium grown-up night is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting, in between the years 2001 and 2006, there was no 10 given
out. Wow.
So that's a big...
2001 to 2006.
Who was the review
Suck
editor
PS2.
That period? Oh, I guess we didn't have one. We were
platform.
Right.
That's crazy.
But then ever since then, it's like every other year, we've given out one or two 10s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting.
But if we are on track, it looks like that we are on the same curve that you're talking about console generation-wise, where we would be at the high point of 10s this year. And who knows? Maybe by the end of the year, there will be a few more great games.
I think we've given
masterpiece.
I think we've given
games.
8 or 9 in my 5 years here.
Yeah, I can't speak for the time before I came here, but I mean, it's taken pretty seriously
in-house. When did you start?
In-house.
2012?
Well, in-house. I think there was the 1 year where we gave Uncharted 3, Skyward Sword, and Infinity Blade 2 a 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, since then, I think it was Last of Us, GTA 5,
11.
Phantom Pain, Undertale, and then the 2 this year.
And The Witness.
Yeah.
This is every game IGN has given a 10 in reverse order.
Okay.
So Inside, The Witness, and Undertale are this year. Last year, only one game got a 10.
Phantom Pain?
Yep. Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. The year before that, GTA 5.
Right, remember that.
This is 2013, GTA 5 and Last of Us.
Yep.
And Infinity Blade 2.
Ah, that was Justin Davis.
Davis.
Wait, is he the only person who's given a 10 on this panel? As in GameScoop regular.
We're going to get to one of my 10s.
Oh, you gave a 10?
I know what you gave a 10 to.
It's the most justified 10 of all time.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I'm really excited now.
So let's see, that was 2013. And then 2011, let's see, 4 games in 2011.
Thanks.
Zelda Skyward Sword.
Mm-hmm.
Uncharted 3.
Mm-hmm.
We gave Chrono Trigger a 10 in 2011 because
DS?
It came to Virtual Console.
That's pretty huge.
No, 2011, you say?
Yeah,
that'd be the Virtual Console version because the DS port was earlier.
Yeah.
And I gave Pac-Man Championship Edition DX a 10.
How excited are you for Championship Edition DX2?
Yeah, has that been officially confirmed?
I think it was just a ratings.
Yeah,
I thought it was like. Out,
I heard about that.
Yeah.
That's a thing?
Yeah apparently. I mean, it hasn't been officially announced, but it's apparently.
Yeah. So the ghosts could be even longer strings?
Yeah. And it's rated M. No, it's not. That's a lot.
That's a great rating. Batman Championship Edition. Batman Championship Edition. That'd be a good game, too.
Batman Championship Edition would be really good. He just eats a bunch of ghosts.
Yeah, he does.
Martha!
Pac-Man Championship Edition DX is a sublime work of art. And I'm glad to hear we gave that a 10. I didn't know that.
Let's see, 2010, I think, is Red Dead Redemption Undead Nightmare.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, we didn't give the game proper a 10. We gave the expansion.
Because I guess it was rated against its own DLC brethren, so that makes sense.
Yeah. And Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah. Solid.
Solid.
Then we're into Metal Gear Solid 4, which I guess, was that 2008? You're going back all the way. And then GTA 4.
Huh.
Yeah. Both those games.
GTA 4, no surprise. Sorry.
We gave Ocarina of Time a 10.
Yep.
And that must have been a virtual console release or something. Mm-hmm. That's why that porn up. In 2006, we gave 1 10 to, any guesses? 2006.
2006? Twilight Princess.
And, well, it's a story, and if you don't know the story, you'll never guess it.
Okay.
Wait.
Tornado Mania. Levi Buchanan gave the mobile game Tornado Mania a 10 in 2006. This is pre-iPhone.
I would have loved someone to come up in 2016 and be like, Dan, I want to give Tornado Mania a 10 and hear what the conversation is.
Do you remember what the game was like at all?
It's like a tornado sim game, I think, or
it's
like a puzzle game.
iPhone.
Yeah,
yeah.
2006.
iPhone was 2007.
So remember, this is like a flip phone mobile game.
So it's like a deck game. Can you even play this thing anymore?
Probably not.
That's the sad thing, is that this is probably the only game that we gave a 10 to ever, which you just can't play anymore.
Wow.
You play it on a shame emulator.
Users, is it possible?
2001, we're getting into Game Boy Color.
All right, here we go.
Time. Dragon Warrior 3.
That's a good game.
The port that's for fine. Game Boy Color.
That's totally
that's
fine.
That's a good game.
And then Zelda Oracle of Ages and Seasons.
Okay, Oracle of Seasons is great. Oracle Age is pretty darn good, too.
That's, sticking that's with Game Boy Color, Pokemon Silver and Gold.
Pokemon.
Got that? And then Metal Gear Solid.
Nice. That game is incredible.
Yeah. That game is
that's
very, very
Babel,
good.
Right?
Yes,
that's
Babel.
Yeah.
I want to play that.
It is awesome.
It is.
Plays like a hybrid of Metal Gear Solid with Metal Gear. Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Magical Tetris Challenge.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Was that the Mickey one? Like Mickey Tetris?
No, they didn't put
Disney Tetris.
Mickey in the name or Disney in the name. How about a Neo Geo Pocket Color game?
No.
Oh,
SNK versus Capcom Match of the Millennium.
That is a completely justified 10. That is a superb video game.
What type of game?
It's a fighting game. It's a two button plus stick Neo Geo Pocket fighting game, which sounds awful and it is not. It is.
What's up with you and two button fighting games?
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
What's the game you brought up in every single
Joy Mech Fight. This game is markedly, this game is tiers better than Joy Mech Fight. Happy Tears? It's so good and beautiful and it's
okay. I've never played a Neo Geo Pocket Color. Do you still own one?
Not anymore. No. Along with everything else,
we have one in the office.
Absolutely.
We have one.
I want to play one, and we need to find Match of the Millennium.
Oh, that clicky stick, man! That eight directional clicky stick, you will fall in love.
Clicky stick.
Yeah, that clicky
stick.
It has like a recessed joystick that clicks when you move it.
Could you play with another person?
Yeah, you could. And
link cable.
Yeah, use link cable. Mm. And but that game, I'm not kidding. Like it is. Like Vince would hit me in the face, but that's my favorite fighting game. It's more fun than I've ever had.
What about Mortal Kombat for Genesis with the Blood Code?
No, this is still way, way better. This is like eight times the game that Mortal Kombat for Genesis.
How have we talked about this for so long?
It's real good.
All right, back to the Mecha Fight.
That's not the only Neo Geo Pocket Color game that we've given a 10.
Oh, okay. Card Fighter?
Sonic the Hedgehog Pocket Adventure.
We gave Sonic for Neo Geo a 10?
Yes.
It was the best of times, it was the
take
worst
it up with
of times.
Typical IGN!
A few more to go.
I've never played that game, so who am I to judge?
Pokemon Yellow.
Good.
Mario Golf for Game Boy Color.
That was a really good
game. That's a really good game.
I guess the original Mario Golf.
Yep,
that game is really, really good.
Man, these Game Boy Color 10s.
We gave one Dreamcast game a 10.
Soul Calibur.
Okay, that's fair.
Then there's Link's Awakening DX.
Great.
Remember when Game Boy Color games, the remakes were just called DX? Super Mario DX.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And three Atari Lynx games.
Three. Okay.
Yep.
This is going to be good. What do we got?
Checkered Flag.
I'm calling bull.
Okay. Joust.
That's a fine port, but it's not
No version of Joust.
No version of Joust.
And Shanghai.
That sounds problematic.
I have played all these games, and none of them are 10s. The Joust port is good, but it's not a 10.
Finally,
it was a 10, Jared. It was.
The original Pokemon Blue and Red, Red and Blue, got it. Our 10s. The original Game Boy game.
Yeah, sure.
So Red and Blue
But I feel like we didn't give those scores when IGN 64 was first starting and around.
There must have been a retro review.
Yeah.
I mean, like, no, I went back in
1999.
When I re-reviewed Majora's Mask for 3DS, I went back and it was Fran's original review.
Well, no, I know,
but
I'm
thinking the Pokemon games was like 95 or something.
Oh, yeah.
No, the Pokemon games were late, actually. They came late along really, really late
You're
in the
right,
States.
But I don't think that IGN originally gave them a 10. I'll
okay, I wonder.
That.
Yeah,
they definitely gave Ocarina of Time a 10.
Yeah, the thing about the Pokemon games that I forget a lot, like those snuck came, like the Game Boy was pretty much dead in the water when those came out here, and suddenly they got several more years out of them, so.
Yeah.
It was like a finished concern.
Wow, history of wonderful tens.
Yep,
the history of tens.
Slight taint.
Well, SNK versus Capcom, match of the Millennium, play it. It's so good.
Don't play it.
You just can't. Don't. How will anybody out there listening?
Steal it on an emulator. It's wonderful.
Do let us know if any of you viewers, listeners, own a Neo Geo Pocket Color. Yeah. I'd be very interested to know how many of you.
Absolutely.
And what do you think of the clicky stick?
Yeah,
and the Metal Slug games on that are really good, too.
I do love the look of games on that system.
Oh, it's a wonderful system, yeah.
I like the wide breadth of games we've given.
This isn't like one of those weird, like fetish mania, crazy Jared things. It really is actually that good.
So you're right. There was a racing game, a fighting game, an arcade game.
Yeah.
A couple of
puzzle games. Yeah.
Stealth game.
Yeah. AAA stuff.
Puzzle game.
Yeah, spread across all platforms.
No music games on there, I don't think.
Too bad.
There never will be.
Not anymore. Moving on. This morning we found out that the PC version of Evolve is going free to play. It is now a free to play game. What do you think about that?
What's the revenue model? That's my first question.
So they said there is a revenue model coming, but as of today, there is none.
Well, then I'm all for it because it's free.
It's just
let's
free,
just play it.
Kidding.
Okay, great.
Free
that's
games.
That's a real good game, and it's free. Yay. Okay.
Yeah, it's really, I don't know, it's really interesting because we gave it a 9, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. But it's a game that previewed really well. Reminds me a lot of Titanfall, where whenever we played at a preview event, we're like, this is great. And then after like the fourth or fifth preview event, it was like, all right, I'm sort of tired of the game now. Mm-hmm. And then the game came out and was great, but just didn't stick.
Yeah,
which is a lot like Titanfall. So it's interesting to see, a year and a half later, the 2K and Turtle Rock sort of being like, all right, how do we re-inject life into this thing?
Yeah, so Evolve, Titanfall, Battlefront, Rainbow Six, Siege are all big high-profile multiplayer-only games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Titanfall 2 is getting a single-player campaign. Mm-hmm. Battlefront 2 will have a single-player campaign. Mm-hmm. Evolve is now going free-to-play.
Yeah.
What does this tell us about the current state of big multiplayer-only games?
I mean, Overwatch is the only one.
Overwatch, yeah,
which is the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, totally. Because something like Battleborn.
Battleborn also,
I feel like, Overwatch is the exception that proves the rule. I think, Ryan's written previews, op-eds about it, but I think people sort of are currently demanding a single-player campaign in games. Like, that's the thing. That was the biggest complaint with Titanfall, the biggest complaint with Battlefront. Mm-hmm. Especially when year in and year out, we get, every Call of Duty, every Halo has its campaign right next to its stellar multiplayer mode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool. I mean, it brings balance to it.
Yeah. Like, I would have loved a proper campaign in Splatoon.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll even see an Evolve 2. Remember, the Turok Studios, these are the guys that did Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Well, if they do, they can call it Evolved. And then,
Don't call it that.
Or maybe people would like to see Left 4 Dead 3.
Yes.
Very much so.
I'd like to see Valve just make something. That'd be really nice.
Well, yeah, a video game from Valve.
Yeah, that's not Dota. I don't know, I feel like it would be unprecedented. Once you go free-to-play, I think that's kind of like, that's it. You're not doing a sequel after that, right? Like, you become a platform.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they also did announce that there are new Hunters coming soon.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't think we're not going to get a Dota 3. We're not going to get a League 2.
No, you might get a Dota 3 someday. I think maybe.
You think Valve can make a 3?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Absolutely. They could do that. Give them a decade.
It'll be in the new Orange Box.
Yeah.
The Friday the 13th game is kind of based on this Evolve model, right?
Yeah, the 4v1.
I mean, it's asymmetrical multiplayer game. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then there's the other, what was it, Dead by Daylight?
Yep. Yeah, Dead by Daylight, I think, is out now.
Yeah, that's what came out really quickly.
But you mentioned the Friday the 13th game. They're talking about trying to get a single player component into that now, too.
Really?
Is that true?
That'd be cool.
Okay, so you got to see Friday the 13th at E3.
Yep.
Give us an update on Friday the 13th.
Absolutely. What I saw Friday the 13th at E3 was really impressive. It looked like a lot of fun. Now, granted, it was a very early demo that we were seeing there, but it's all built around fear. They had these really cool things where, like, yeah, you can just, you know, run up and kill somebody as Jason, but it's also often more advantageous to build fear because that makes him more and more powerful. Mm-hmm. So just, like, glancing through a window at somebody can be just as or more effective.
As, like, a rewarding mechanic.
Yeah, he starts to beef up, and, like, yeah, you can kill somebody, but if you kill them brutally and horribly in front of their friends in an awful way, everybody gets more freaked out, and you just keep snowballing abilities.
I really like that.
I like that too. There's all these other neat little things too, like that with the campers or the counselors. They're all kind of unique and have different abilities, but there's only enough seats in the escape vehicle for, like, let's say there's seven counselors and maybe there's only like five seats in the car. So not everybody's making it out no matter what. So you're working together, but sooner or later,
you're
somebody's
like, hey,
going to get screwed.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind tripping you when we're running away.
Exactly. And they're kind of building stuff like that into it, it looks like.
That's really smart.
That's cool.
Jason can warp for jump scares.
Well, he can in this version. They're not sure that's going to make it finally. They're going to have ways to make that happen. But yeah, it'll be like, you'll be running, and then suddenly Jason just appears in front of you, like out of the dark.
Yeah.
He'll be like walking slowly, and then you're ahead.
If you're a Jason, like, that's an interesting control scheme, because he's kind of lumbering and slow, right?
Yeah.
So then all of a sudden you can kind of like do a pointer and like, whap!
Yeah, and you're just right there, which is how the movies work. Suddenly you come to the shadows. And yeah, they've put a lot of thought. The fidelity to the movies is what impressed me. They're just like, to the point that they were like, well, Jason just kills as many people as he can. Is there a winner? They're like, you know, well, if the counselors somehow manage to put Jason in the ground, which is like this epic event you can try to do, then counselors, maybe that's counselors win. But otherwise, it's just maybe you got away or Jason killed this many, but it's not like Jason wins or counselors win, at least not the way they're putting it together now. And I like that. It's just like, just tell the story, have fun, get your experience, add your abilities, come back in, play again.
I really like the idea of that fear mechanic. Just, it reminds me sort of the Arkham games, how you can, like, you know, as you're swooping in and out of the shadows, like, people will get more and more afraid of you and start acting radically.
I love it. And they also talked about some organic things that have happened. Like, they've learned that if Jason comes in and there's only two people and he kills one or there's two people, they'll, like, run away together. But whenever it's a group, human behavior, they're discovering, they scatter like cockroaches. Yeah. Like, they'll all run in different directions. It causes panic.
Also, how great would it be if this game is a hit and then they get, like, the Freddy license?
Oh, that'd be amazing!
That's what I've wanted from Evolve, is having the monsters be recognizable things. Like, some, like, a King Kong thing or a, you know, Godzilla or actual Cthulhu.
Jason looked like Jason. Another thing I loved was that these environmental kills, they were savage and brutal and very characteristic of the movies. But the guys, like, demoing it were like, yeah, see how brutal it is, man? They weren't doing that. They're just like, and here's Jason doing this. Because they get that's this is what the game is.
Yeah.
And I really, there was a lot of TLC in that room, and that was one of the things that stood out to me in the demo. These guys, honest to God, seem to care about making this feel like a Friday the 13th
movie. So compare it to Dead by Daylight.
Okay, so Dead by Daylight I've actually done hands-on with. This I didn't. Okay, Dead by Daylight is neat. It's fun, but I feel like there's some balance issues with hook distance and that it's kind of generic-y. And whereupon this, I actually saw locales I cared about and characters whose abilities were like, oh, I remember that. Or I liked what they were demoing more than what Dead by Daylight turned out to be. Now, whether or not, but again, that's not fair to Dead by Daylight, which is a very enjoyable game that I don't want to crap on.
Yeah.
But what I saw there interested me more than what Dead by Daylight ended up being.
Gotta have that license.
Yeah.
You guys got to school me sometime on what the best Friday the 13th movie is.
Ooh, yeah.
Because I've only seen the first one and some very contemporary ones, and they're like, the first one's really boring.
Yeah.
And the contemporary ones are cheesy, kind of fun, but there's got to be a good window of 80s movies.
As long as you can accept that best is kind of in quotes.
No, that's what I'm expecting.
Yeah, probably four is probably
the most fun, my favorite.
Yeah, what's it that's called? A really good one.
Is it the final chapter?
Friday the 13th, the Corey movie.
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman's in it?
Yeah, Corey Feldman's in it. Yeah.
As a little boy.
Sounds good.
I also it's not good, but I like the one with the psychic girl, too.
That's like seven.
That's a fun one. Yeah, seven.
There's some good.
Don't go to space.
Jason X.
I've seen that one.
Yeah, that one's not great.
Although there are some good kills in that.
No, I saw Jason versus Freddy, which might have a space stuff.
Freddy versus Jason.
Freddy versus Jason's. It's fun. I and Jason Takes Manhattan's bad. That one's bad.
Let's name them all in order. Friday the 13th,
yes.
Friday the 13th Part 2, Friday the 13th Part 3 in 3D.
Yep,
right.
That sounds good.
Friday the 13th Part 4, the final chapter.
Part 5, A New Beginning.
Part 5 is A New Beginning. Then part Jason Lives.
Part no. 6.
Wait, when did we skip Jason Takes Manhattan? Or was that?
That's not
that's
yet.
Eight.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, that's it.
6's subtitle is what?
I don't remember what 6 is. I don't remember 6 or 7.
Is it The Dream Master?
No, that's Friday.
It's the wrong one.
I don't remember the subtitles to 6 or 7.
Wait, no, what was Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday?
That's Friday the 13th.
No, that's Jason X.
Okay,
that's,
we can't remember 6 or 7.
This is a great exercise.
Is Jason Takes Manhattan.
8 is Jason Takes Manhattan. 9 is Jason X.
Wait, shouldn't 10 be Jason X? Jason Goes to Hell, The Final Friday was 9, I think.
No, wait, I think 9 is...
I apologize to hardcore Friday the 13th fans.
I think 9 is Jason Goes to Hell, 10 is Jason X. Okay. And then
Freddy versus Jason.
11 is Freddy versus Jason.
And then they remade then Friday the 13th.
The
Michael Bay. Or
okay.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, wait. They remade elsewhere. They remade 13. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I'm getting mixed up.
It was
which one did I read?
I like how so nobody knows what 6 and 7 were.
Wait, aren't they remaking Friday the 13th now? Did they actually finish the remake?
Yeah, I don't know.
They already did a remake of Friday the 13th.
Okay. Man, I'm confused.
Yeah, because those were all the same time as Rob Zombie, Halloween, and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yeah.
Well, I remember there was the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, but for some reason I thought 13th was still getting remade. I don't know. Maybe
it's that first Nightmare on Elm Street is a great movie.
The very first one.
That's a slick flick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
All right, moving on. Let's check in with the listeners.
Hey, listeners.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com, just like Aaron Brown from Magnolia, Texas did.
That's not a real place.
Aaron says, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey.
My question is, why doesn't Sony seem to be working on any kind of backwards compatibility? I know the PS4 is PlayStation Now, but this is a surprisingly expensive alternative to Microsoft's backwards compatibility. I also understand the internal hardware of the PS4 simply won't allow for backwards compatibility the same way as Xbox, but why not allow PS3 owners the ability to re-download their digital titles on the PS4? Journey proved this was possible when it launched on PS4. I was able to re-download the game without having to purchase it again. Why are all the games I paid for locked away on last gen if this is an alternative? And if it would be possible for PS3 games, why not the PS2 and PS1 games I have on my PS3 as well?
My speculation on this is that Sony spent a lot of money for PSN and wants to get as much of that back as they can. Also, emulation...
Or you mean PS Now? Or?
PS Now, not PlayStation Network, sorry, PS Now. Thank you very much. They spent a lot of money for the tech behind PS Now. They needed to pay for that. Clicky Sticks. also,
we gave that game a 10, too. Clicky Sticks, Levi gave it a 10.
Emulation of something like the core processor on more of an x86 architecture processor is not an easy thing to pull off. And yes, they managed to do Journey, but there are a lot more moving parts in some larger games, and I imagine that that's an expensive prospect. Backwards compatibility tends to be something that's appealing earlier in a console generation than later. Yeah. And the farther you get removed from that previous generation, the harder and harder it is to get that internal marketing argument made. I'm sure there are some people at Sony that would love to do it just for Sony's fans. Some people think it'll be profitable, but after the money they put into PlayStation Now, I don't think we're going
to
see it.
Yeah, well, there's also just the fact that Sony doesn't really need to.
Yeah.
Right? In terms
yeah,
of.
Yeah, I mean, that's the.
Their sales aren't hurting.
The backwards compatibility that Microsoft revealed at last year's E3 2015 was like one of the most positively received moves of Microsoft's generation.
It's one of their top stories.
Yeah, and our wiki is huge every time we update it with new games. And obviously there was the news this week of Red Dead coming back, which blew up. And I think Damon's absolutely right that Sony doesn't really need to do this. I think a really cool thing, though, would be if PlayStation Now, which is a pretty cool service, and I actually disagree that it's too expensive, especially for its...
It's like $100 a year?
Yeah, but it's a really big library of games. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be really cool if they started adding PS2 and PS1 games. That.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really cool if you could go back and play Square RPGs and Siphon Filter and you know, the Spyro the Dragon games and Crash. I think that would make that a much more, that's like what I wanted from Nintendo and the Virtual Console from the get-go was a Netflix style, hey, let me pay you $15 a month, but let me play everything.
Yeah. Mm.
Like, let me play everything that you put on there from now and as long as I'm paying.
Yeah.
I sort of like that more than the a la carte.
And I'm the other way around. I prefer a la carte stuff, so something like PlayStation Network or Virtual Console, the way those have worked more classically, hey, just pick and choose what I want. I enjoy that more because I'm always afraid like Netflix things are going to rotate off the service and I'm not going to have access to them anymore as licensing deals change or if the service goes away. But either way, I like having the games. And
see,
I think
Jared
PlayStation
likes
has
making
a good product.
What they used to call legal backups.
Yes, legal backups.
Legal backups.
When you, that was like the whole thing when you would trade games on floppy disks. Yeah. Like, well, I own this game, so I can make a legal backup.
Exactly.
Yeah. Remember those days?
I'm a big fan of legality when it comes to most things.
When it comes to most things.
Yeah.
Let's not dig into that.
That's for another time. So Sony has said that they're just not really focusing on backwards compatibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if PlayStation Neo opens up a possibility to revisit that and sort of bake that into their system.
Itself.
I mean, with Neo and with Scorpio, like you heard Microsoft saying, like, hey, we're not abandoning the Xbox One. Like, every game is going to be playable on any of these consoles. It's just, you know, your experience may vary a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, I'm curious to see at what point a machine comes out where we're not able to play an Xbox One or a PS4 game on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know at what point, especially with this sort of mid-generation leap we're making, you know, if we're going to get a PS5 or an Xbox 2.
In the meanwhile, whether it be Xbox backward compatibility or PlayStation Now, I'm in favor of anything that, you know, gives us more old games to play and keeps that history alive. So that's cool.
You're here.
Yeah.
The Netflix model is such a cool idea. Especially for Nintendo.
Just having
It'd be so neat. It's just, as we've talked about on this many times before, I think just making each game playable again is actually a bigger expense than people think.
And being able to do it on any device you have, on an NX or on a 3DS. Yeah,
but hackers figure out how to do that for free with emulation.
With emulation.
Makes me feel like I have the second channel.
It's too bad that officially it's hard to do.
Yeah, the second channel.
Yeah, well, that was a subscription service, right?
Yeah.
Where you could download, like,
it was several a month, but they rotated out, so you had to finish them within a certain amount of time because then new ones were available.
I was actually just reading about that in Console Wars, which is a great book. Yeah. You should totally check out about
Blake J. Harris.
The battle between Sega and Nintendo in the early 90s. It goes over how the Sega Channel was like a really cool idea that was ahead of its time.
Way ahead of its time.
But it was actually the cable providers were just like not really willing to work with Sega to actually implement it, make it user-friendly. Mm-hmm. So if they were the ones that were really holding it back.
It had taken off, we might all be Netflixing our games right now, honestly. Yeah. That was the kind of service they were pushing.
What was that first cloud gaming service? Was it OnLive?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, OnLive.
2006, 2007, out, and that was...
But then Gaikai was...
What about Gamefly? When was that?
I mean, Gamefly was just
discs.
That was just discs, right?
No.
I think they went.
Oh, wait,
to
I'm
them.
Thinking Gamefly. I'm thinking the wrong thing. What was the thing
Prince
of
Online,
all used to work
right?
for? What's that?
OnLive.
Oh, no, Game it's not OnLive. GameTap.
GameTap.
Yeah. Pardon me. The ones Fall used for GameTap. Thank you. I got clicky sticks today.
Yeah.
GameTap. That was really early too. That was a really cool service until it shut down. Although I remember I wrote them an angry letter once saying I will never use your service until you allow me to purchase the games. That
legal,
didn't work.
Legal backups. And you shut them down.
I did.
Wow.
Shut them
down.
And that was it.
Moving on. This next one comes from not Big Tony Style. He says, I want to get right to it. In the past year and a half or so, I've dedicated a good portion of my gaming to my backlog. I have beaten the following games. Resident Evil, Mega Man 1 through 6, Grim Fandango, Knights of the Old Republic, Final Fantasy VII, Journey, Limbo, Super Metroid, Zelda 1 and 2, and Earthbound.
Oh, that's just a good year.
The greatest time.
Some still in my backlog are Metal Gear Solids 1, 4, and 5, the whole Monkey Island series, Baldur's Gate, Final Fantasies 6, 9, and 12, Resident Evil 4, Shadow of the Colossus, and Skyward Sword.
You're going to have the best year.
Yeah, so my question is this. What is GameScoop's experience with backlogs? How do you go about crossing things off? One game a year, a handful? I have so much left to play that I feel overwhelmed. This leads me to not enjoying the game I'm currently playing because I'm thinking about the next one on my list. I also feel guilt if I use guides or walkthroughs. If I don't, then I feel even more overwhelmed because it will take me longer. I guess my dilemma is this. Use walkthroughs and guides, which means I beat more games.
The older they get, it's okay.
Play less games and get the satisfaction that I did it on my own.
Yeah.
All right. Well, all three of us in this area of the room.
Really briefly.
Yeah.
It's not Big Tony style, or it is?
He said it's not Big Tony style.
That's the name of the person.
He did not give me his actual name. He just wanted us to know this is not Big Tony style.
Okay.
Well, there we go.
All right, sorry, Jerry.
No, don't be sorry at all. You're there in the end. You got to jump in when you can.
Now, can you read the whole thing again? Because I was just dying.
No, so all three of us here, we'll try to help with the guild, started our careers writing guides, and some of us still do it. So don't feel guilty because you're feeding us when you use a guide. You're helping us stay employed and fit.
What I want to remind not Big Tony style of is that we play games to have fun and enjoy ourselves. So if it's not fun, it's not working. You're not obligated to play any game. So if a game is feeling like a chore or a grind, put it away and play something else that sounds like fun.
Totally.
And it's
totally.
Fine.
If a guide can get you over that hump. Especially for really old games, which if you're going to get in those Monkey Island games, there's leaps of logic that were made for a different time.
Totally,
And you can totally look up
even
stuff.
Even Grim Fandango, honestly.
Yeah, Grim Fandango.
Oh, totally.
Those games were made for a time when you didn't buy as many games a year.
Yeah.
So you would buy the new Monkey Island game, and that'd be your game for 6 months, and you'd spend a whole week trying to solve one puzzle.
And you'd confer with others on how to try to figure out. Right. The beauty pageant puzzle in Day of the Tentacle, no one should have to solve that without
it's really tough.
It shouldn't be that.
I think your backlog sounds reasonable, though, in the way that a lot of the games are relatively short. And I think that's one thing, one way, if your backlog's overwhelming, is focus on some smaller things.
Could
be Journey in a single setting. Mm-hmm. A lot of those Super Nintendo games, even the RPGs, are Earthbound and Super Metroid, are relatively short compared to modern standards. My big problem with my major backlog is that I play all the short games, and so my backlog is Mass Effect, Skyrim,
the big games,
Fallout, stuff like that. And luckily, finally, I'm starting Mass Effect for a feature series, so I'm going to play through that for the first time. But I had a certain point where I'd like to go back and play more Witcher or more Dragon Age Inquisition, but I'm just I'm probably not.
Well, I mean, you don't have to finish.
No,
that's the other part. I like to play games a lot, but I don't finish a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Even a lot of big games, I don't finish them.
Yeah.
I play them, I enjoy them, and then sometimes I'll play something else now. Because, just like you said earlier, fun's the point. And if I'm I'm ready to do something else, then I go on and play something else. What about you, Sam? What do you do with your backlog?
Well, one of the games on this list that I was just thinking about that I recently tried to go back and play was Earthbound. And I wasn't really having fun with it, but I then realized that it came with a strategy guide.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that
the
strategy
box
guide
is this big.
Yeah, it's not really a strategy guide, and you can just get a PDF version of it. But it's actually a bunch of extra information about the game. Some stuff that the game doesn't tell you very well, but then also stuff that's just what names of places and things and the city and stuff. So when you play that game, it's really fun to actually get in the context of what that game, how it was meant to be played.
Yeah.
That's just it's kind of a book game experience.
No, totally. It's one of the most creative strategy guides, because it's all a travel guide.
Yes.
And it has all the monsters on the side, and these really gorgeous clay sculptures of them.
And old adventure games used to come with feelies.
Yep. Feelies!
A similar idea. Well, feelies are more like a coin or something that come with it. But, I remember getting a Zork anthology that just had every map for every game and a thick book of backstory and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I really like that.
What's a feely?
A feely, they were these pack-ins that were designed, if you got something A Mind Forever Voyaging, it would have pens from the lab that you worked in. And
edition stuff that they have now. We just don't call it that anymore. And the reason they did it was because of rampant piracy.
Yeah.
So if you got the game, you'd get really cool collectible
That's
set.
Awesome.
And a bunch of printed out stuff.
Yeah, the Infocom was really good at those. They'd have fake magazines and stuff, ads and things like that for the
totally
setting
cool.
you were in. It was great. And the other, Working Designs was always great at stuff like that, too. Their stuff always came packed with crazy stuff.
I always liked the adventure games that it would include stuff that you had to reference to solve puzzles.
Yeah,
some of the Lucas.
Go to page 3, look up the fifth word and type it in.
Yeah, and even the original Metal Gear Solid has that. There's a codec on the back of the box.
Yeah, and Metal Gear 2 is the same one, the original Japanese.
I always read about that, but how does it indicate that in game?
I don't remember.
I don't know if it ever says that. I think it's one of those things where if you look, you're like, oh, I should type in this number and see what happens. And you
it's very cool. Mm-hmm. Don't stress out about it, not Big Tony style.
Yeah.
Video games are supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you are Big Tony style, that was a very rude trick you played on us.
One small tip that you can do is bring them into the office and play them on your lunch break. That's what we do here. I have an old CRT TV, and sometimes we play. We were just playing Bionic Commando.
And
the week before that,
Banjo-Kazooie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's time for Video Game 20 Questions. We all know how this works. Yes. You email us a mystery game, and my panel has 20 yes or no questions in which to guess it. This week's suggestion comes from Terrail.
Ooh. What's up, Terrail?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool name. Man. Let the questioning begin.
Wow, all right. I'm coming off a failure here 2 weeks ago, so I'm scared.
Sure, this is
two weeks ago was what? Oh, yeah.
It was hat related.
Professor Layton. I am not asking about hats.
What was it?
Professor Layton. Oh, they didn't get that.
I've got it.
Yeah. that's funny.
Professor.
I'm going to ask the. I'm going to start with my. Was this game released after January 1st, 2000?
Yes.
All right.
We're boned.
We're boned.
There we go. All right.
Is this game associated with a Nintendo console?
No.
Okay.
Does it have sequels?
Yes.
Sequels. Ooh, nice. Very good, Sam. This game associated with the previous generation of console hardware, that one containing
the 360.
Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, as well as the PlayStation Portable handheld and...
Yes.
Yes. Is this
nice? So we got
a solid window. Was this game?
Yeah, it's not Cameo.
On the Xbox. This game on the Xbox 360.
No.
Okay. So this is a Sony game, or it could be a PC game,
or a DS.
Yeah, because you already asked about Nintendo.
Yeah.
Is it a Sony game?
I mean,
is it a PS3 game?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. So it's a PS3 game.
Right. Wow.
Wow. There we go.
That's more narrow than we don't really have things by this point.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean it's going to be any easier, right?
Is this game depicted from the third person?
Yes.
Okay.
So Ratchet and Clank or Sly?
Sly could be done. Was this game available physically in retail?
I think so, but I'll give you.
Okay.
I'll give you a pass on that.
But known as a digital download.
Okay.
If you're asking that question, yes.
Okay.
You added a question.
All right. A digital download.
Because I swapped out the other question.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That was our question.
Third person PS3.
This could be Journey.
Digital download. This could be Journey.
Fat Princess.
Could be. We've had Fat Princess before.
I believe we've had Journey also.
Oh, have we had Journey?
But it's okay if we haven't.
There were a bunch of those.
It's funny to get stumped a second time.
No, it is. It is. There's a lot of these.
What was the one we'd had multiple times? Is it Mass Effect?
Yeah, I think that there's been a couple that we've done multiple times.
Was this game reviewed highly by IGN?
Yes.
All right, highly reviewed.
I remember it had sequels.
Third person.
Wait, and it had sequels?
It has sequels. He confirmed that earlier.
This sequel. Game
sequels. Sequel, there we go.
Okay.
All right. So now we have to do this.
So that's not Journey.
Yeah, Knox.
Not Journey. Okay, wait. Okay, it's not Journey. Oh, man, I'm just like flying through this game.
I don't think it's made by Sony. I think it's just on PS3.
Yeah, just on PS3.
Third person, not made by Sony.
I mean, it could have been, but
relatively well.
It wasn't on Xbox.
Is this game single player only?
I think so.
Okay. It's known for its single player mode.
Known for its single player mode.
That's 10.
Okay, so it was a Sony exclusive, downloadable, single player, third person game that
has
a
sequel. Hold on. Let the record show, I never said this is a Sony exclusive.
But you said it wasn't on 360, mm-hmm. So it could be on PC.
And it wasn't on Nintendo.
And it wasn't on Nintendo.
Right.
So it's not on. Okay.
Maybe it eventually came later to...
Yeah, to other things. That's true. Yeah. That's a good thought.
God.
It's third person, you guys said?
Third person.
Yeah, it's weird, because when I think of downloadable games of that generation, I think of the Summer of Arcade games. And so I'm trying to
bring myself out of that, too, because that's where I played most of my downloadable gaming at that point.
Is this a Japanese-developed game?
No.
Okay.
So that's a big deal, because that means it's not...
This could be a Housemarque game. This could be something like Pixel Junk Nation. Games. It could be a Pixel Junk game. Well, he said third person. That's
yeah. I'm trying to think of theirs.
Like, do you consider side-scrolling games third person?
Well, I mean, they are, right?
They are.
Yeah, yeah. That wasn't a question. That was just. I just wanted to know.
Should we ask about if you're a space genre narrow down or a spaceship or like what you're having?
Yeah.
You play as a spaceship.
No.
All right. Well, do you play as a spaceship?
It's not a Housemarque game.
I can't even name spaceship games.
No, I mean Dead Nation's a Housemarque game.
Ah, that's a good point. That's right.
Do you is a primary mechanic firing a gun?
Yes.
All right. Games with guns.
Games with guns. Xbox games with guns.
No, PS3 games with guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, this could have been on phone, too. Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Dead Nation.
Could have come to PC. Could have been a PC game that came to PS3. I feel very silly. Like I feel like
no
this
Dead Nation
staring
2.
Us right in the face.
Well, there's an Alien Nation, which is kind of like Dead Nation 2.
Oh, man.
F.
I always try to think of my PS3 game library.
Yeah, I'm like going through the menu right now.
What was that stupid... game where you lead the people around as like a zombie superhero.
Stubbs the zombie?
No.
The Last Man?
The Last Guy. Yeah, there's like stuff like that.
F.
Is this a platformer?
No.
Okay, it's not a platformer. There's a gun, it's not a platformer.
Is this developer still making games?
Yes. That's 15.
It's a shooter.
Yeah, I mean, shooting is a primary mechanic.
I don't want to keep guessing genre-wise. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we can if you want.
Let's see.
It has a sequel.
Yeah, that's the part that's interesting. It has a sequel. Was it a sequel on PS3 or PS4? We could check. If it's a PS4 sequel, it should be super easy to narrow down.
Downloadable, though.
But we're running out of questions. I feel like we're being reckless.
You asked if it was a sci-fi game?
No, we didn't ask. I said it was a spaceship game.
Space. Okay. Got to start wider than that.
Is it a sci-fi game?
No.
We're running out of questions.
That's good. That
Wait, is horror sci-fi? Is Dead Nation sci-fi?
No, I don't think that's sci-fi.
I don't know what. I don't remember Dead Nation.
Zombie game.
Yeah.
Feel like highly recommended.
I'm gonna be very angry at the end of this if we don't get it. You're gonna say their name, and I'm gonna just.
I feel like I'm feeling the.
You guys. Population. So, things you got a little too hung up on were console generation and. Like being a Sony game.
Yes, okay. Oh, crap. All right. Just happened to come
out. Just the fact that it came out on PS3 doesn't really tell you much.
Sure.
Yeah, it has a sequel.
Could be other platforms also. See.
Yeah.
It was well rated by IGN.
It's just weird that it was on PS3 but not 360. That's like not a thing that happens often.
Yeah.
It is true in this case.
Yeah. Are there Capcom games from that era that were?
These are done.
It's not Japanese developed.
Right. It's not Japanese developed, it's American developed, or English developed, or some other.
Was it a Ubisoft game?
No.
That's very specific.
That's not that specific.
Can you think of a Ubisoft game that only came to PS3 and not 360?
Rayman only came to Wii U.
All right.
Oh, see. God, this isn't going to end.
Three questions left.
Really
blowing it. All right. I'm panicking now.
How about...
You asked, what was the question you asked about guns? There's like a...
Is that a primary mechanic?
A major mechanic.
But that's weird because it's not a sci-fi game. So think about an
action game.
An action game.
I feel like you're just going...
It's not a platformer.
I'm blanking.
It's not like Super Time Force.
You also asked if it was third person, and getting too hung up on that may cause you to overlook things.
Oh my.
Is this too hung up on that?
This isn't a real question, but this is really darn easy, and why aren't we getting it? This is one of those.
I wouldn't say it's a super easy one, but you should definitely. Everyone knows this game.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like.
And it's very well thought of.
Oh no.
I'm giving two minutes.
If you can ride in a vehicle, or does that just not really
matter? We only got three left.
Do you play as a human?
Yes.
Play as a human.
Two questions.
Not a platformer.
Left.
You have a gun. Human, not platformer.
Wait, did you say
game.
Not a platformer?
It's not a platformer. That's a sequel.
Is it? And
it has a
games
sequel.
Like Tomb Raider or games that are like have you know like a history that it might have been on.
Oh, you got it.
Could it be could the it Tomb Raider Go or what is it called?
Guardians of Light. Yeah, I feel like that was on 360 though, as well.
I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't though, but that had a sequel, and their primary mechanic was shooting things.
Yeah, but I think that was on Xbox.
What's something about
Nero? But it's Western developed.
Again. That Tomb Raider's Western developed?
It's Western developed.
But that game wasn't that game multiplayer? Like when I asked...
I don't remember.
And then the retail question wouldn't have tripped Damon up if that was the case.
There are two questions left.
We're blowing this and people are screaming at their
Do you play as a woman?
I don't think so.
Okay.
One question left.
That would have really helped narrow it down.
I feel lost here. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm gonna hit
Is there like a Metal Gear or Resident Evil thing that was happening at that time?
You have to know. Metal Gear, that's Japanese.
Yeah.
Resident Evil, Japanese.
That's what really throws me off about the PS3, but not 360, but it's an American developer.
Your last question has to be a Hail Mary guess.
Yeah, or it has to be a guess.
You wouldn't
get it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it. This is the last question.
Guess.
Wait, do we each get a guess?
No, we only get one guess. This is it. We're off our game.
F.
Can you think of
Do you wear a hat? Let's see.
Do you wear a hat?
What are the most popular? What are some U.S. developers that might have been making games?
Said we were stuck too much on the Sony.
I could have been 2K, Activision.
What's wrong with me?
A lot of things.
Throw the Hail Mary.
Marty, we look to you.
Is there a Warhawk?
I don't think there was a Warhawk 2. There was a game called Starhawk. Is it Warhawk?
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Hotline.
Oh my God!
Miami.
Oh my God.
See, I wouldn't have known that that wasn't on Xbox 360. That makes no sense to me.
It's only come to PS3, PS4, and PS Vita.
Vita, that's right.
And
we can start asking that if it's an indie game.
I feel
an indie game is a good
question. That's a solid question. That's like a solid, like, once you get to like 10.
At least in 2012, originally on PC. See, it was originally a PC game and then came to PS3 and other PlayStation platforms.
This is two losses in a row.
I love that game.
I don't even think of that as that console generation. I think of it as PC and so contemporary.
If you ask if it's that, I mean, it came out during that console generation.
Yeah, it did. That's my fault. I led us astray.
Hotline Miami.
Yeah.
I don't think it's your fault, Jared. I think we're equivalently foolish.
If you had asked if you wore a hat, I would have said yes.
Yeah.
Do you wear a hat?
You wear a bunch of masks.
Yeah, they
wear
masks.
Yeah, you do.
See, he would have qualified it with that, and we would have known.
Man.
I don't think we were on the right trail.
Yeah, see, you asked if it was third person. I mean, it is, but it's like a top-down TV game.
Yeah, that's absolutely third person, though. Yeah. No, you're, like, every question, I have no, Leighton, I was so like, that's not a Nintendo character.
If it's an indie game, it's good, and also if it's like a 2D or 3D game.
Yeah.
Determining that is good.
Yeah, totally.
The truth is, we had everything we needed, and we just
because that was a 2D game. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you're right. But if you're thinking third person, you're probably imagining a third.
You're imagining like Rise of the Tomb Raider or something.
Yeah,
that's my. Yeah, that's good. That's real good.
Thank you for your suggestion, Terrell. You stumped.
You did.
You stumped us. This
nicely
time.
Done.
And finally, before we go this week, we just found out not long before we came in here to record that No Man's Sky has gone gold. Development is finished. It's actually happening. I think August 9th.
Breaking
release date for them.
Is that the date? Really?
We have a month.
So a month, like 2 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
No.
Wow. 1 month.
1 month.
Yeah.
What time is it? What day is it?
Please send us a copy to review.
Yeah, maybe we'll get an early copy to play.
Yeah.
Maybe. Marty, did you know you wrote IGN's very first article on No Man's Sky?
Was it from when it was revealed at those
December 2013
VGAs?
Yeah.
Yikes. Mm. I did it, guys.
Wow. Did it.
3 years in the making.
It's only 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's not bad for such an ambitious game.
Yeah, considering that we're getting two games this year that have been in development for 10 years.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Last Guardian and Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Final Fantasy 15.
Versus.
Turns out they're the same game.
Shyamalan Twist.
7 Remake has been in production for longer, right?
No.
No.
Wasn't that a trailer from the first PS3 announcement?
Oh, no, that was a tech demo.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a real thing.
Oh.
Like, they said that this isn't a real game.
That's like the Final Fantasy VI on N64 thing. Like, it's just a demo.
Okay. Duke Nukem came out.
That did. Yikes. That happened. That game came out.
I'm excited for No Man's Sky.
Those came out. Daikatana. Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested to see how No Man's Sky turns out.
So, I want to play that game so much.
Interested. It's not something that I'm like, I feel sure about.
Oh, yeah, I'm going in with like no expectations of anything.
Because I really like Joe Danger.
As a Joe Danger fan.
As a Joe Danger.
I really liked Joe Danger, but then Joe Danger 2 is kind of like, eh, and then this is so much more ambitious than Joe Danger.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, all right, let's see. Yeah. I'm hopeful. I hope it's really fun.
I want a game where I can fly around big stars and see pretty colors and space dinosaurs for hours. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to get what I want.
Yeah, there you go. This game's made for you.
Yeah, this is. I've been more excited about this than anything this year.
Jared, your homework is to finish Inside.
Yeah, I will do that. Absolutely.
Doesn't take very long.
No, it's been a particularly busy week here.
I have some homework for all of you.
What's that?
Try the those horrible Burger King mac and Cheetos.
Oh, I don't know.
I want to do that.
I tried them, and it tastes like a rotten macaroni and cheese ball. And I'm really curious to see if anybody here would actually like it.
I'm going to 100. Oh, there's some trash monsters out there.
Our fans in other countries are probably being spared those
macaroni and Cheetos.
Yeah.
And what is it? It's called something like that.
It's just an abomination that
should
never enter a human body.
It's an orange Cheeto, but inside is macaroni and cheese.
I know what it is.
I don't even know what to do with that.
It's like they shaved a bunch of Cheetos and then made them really rubbery and stale, and then they like sprinkled that over macaroni and cheese. Really curious, guys. You got to try it before the next
episode.
Reminds
me a lot of an Element of Inside.
Clicky sticks.
And on that note, that is all the scoops that we have for you this week. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Marty. Thank you, Sam. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.